Want more Cliffo and Gabby? Download the Hit app.
This is the show.
Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.
The cheese challenge. Hashtag cheese challenge.
Funny is it?
This has become the stupid thing we're doing on the internet this
week. I don't
know
where it started. Like, who thought to themselves, I'm just going to throw a piece of cheese at my kid?
Well, those pieces of, like, Kraft singles will stick to anything, won't
they? Yeah, it's true. That is true. They're just like pieces of plastic, really.
And a baby's face is just begging to have one thrown at it. So people all over the world, they're getting these, like, Kraft singles and they're just throwing them onto the face of their kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought last night, like, I don't have a baby anymore. Like, we're going to have one soon. My wife's very heavily pregnant.
Yeah, but the challenge will be done by then.
Yeah, that's
right. Gotta get
on it
now.
So I thought, I've got to strike while the iron's hot. So I'll do it to my daughter because she loves those Kraft singles. So I think she'd actually find it kind of funny, like the cheese stick to her face and then she'd just eat it.
Yeah.
So like I said, Matilda, my daughter's about 5, and I go, yeah, let's do the cheese challenge and all that. So I'm prepped up. I've got the video ready to go and all that. I go to the fridge and the only cheese in the entire fridge was a whole 1 kilo block of cheese. Thought, you know what?
Did you knock her out?
Not going to work. If I cheese challenge her, Doc's going to be on my doorstep tomorrow.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
Cliffo, what way do you put your toilet paper?
Always over the top. Always over the top. There's no other way to put your toilet paper.
I agree. My sister and I used to get into massive fights because she knew I had to have the toilet paper over, and if it was under, I would change it.
Yeah.
And so,
which sister's this?
Alex.
Alex,
and so every
dead to
time,
me. Dead to me, Alex.
Every time she went to the toilet, she didn't care, but she knew I did. So she'd change it just to annoy me every
out of spite.
Out of spite, just to annoy me. And every time,
look,
I'd
Alex,
go into
you
the
always
loo,
were. You know, Tiff was always the favourite sister. I've got to say over you, and you've 100% locked it in this morning, mate. I'm sorry.
It's just siblings, so you know when you're young, it's just that's just what they
totally
do. They just want to press your buttons, and she did by changing the toilet paper. But I have the answer to the age-old question today as to whether the toilet paper should sit over or under, because this has been a fight in many a household.
All right. Do you want a drum roll when you announce it?
Well, before we announce it, I'll explain where the answers come from.
Okay.
There's actually been, like, a blueprint that has been found from back in 1891 when the toilet roll was invented. Like, the toilet roll holder, sorry, was invented in 1891. And the blueprint...
What did they do before then, by the way? Just flushing, like, I guess it was sort of, they were still using buckets and stuff. Like, plumbing would have been very primitive back then. So maybe it
did
was
they
buckets
have toilet
and
paper?
Leaves
maybe
and...
Maybe it was cloths.
Newspaper and stuff.
Might have just been cloth that they washed.
Don't know.
Like
I hope
baby
they
nappies.
Something.
I don't want to know to tell you the truth, but anyway, this blueprint, it explains how you use the toilet roll holder. So, of course, it has a picture on it of the toilet paper roll on the holder and... The roll goes over. So if anyone wants to argue with you ever again about how the toilet roll is meant to go, you say, no, the inventor of the toilet paper roll holder, Mr. S. Wheeler, put a patented blueprint out in 1891.
And you're having trouble with that day, aren't you?
I really am.
Well, Mr. S. Wheeler, a big thank you on behalf of my bum, mate. Thanks.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby
on Hit 103.1.
Today we are continuing our inspiration week for the lead up to International Women's Day, which is happening tomorrow. And today we have a wonderful woman who has gone through quite the ordeal. Kelly Turner is joining us right now. Now, Kelly, your story is just insane. Can you tell us just a little bit about what you have gone through over the last 3 years?
Hi, guys. When I was diagnosed with brain cancer in 2016, it was a massive shock to everyone. Like, my family went through a fair bit of turmoil. I think they took it harder than me, because it was harder for them to see someone that they care about and love go through such an ordeal. So that was probably the toughest part, watching them have to go through that.
Because you have children. How old were they at the time of your diagnosis?
So that was, my youngest was 6 months. I was feeding her at the time.
Oh,
and I thought, I had to stop doing that because I had to take medication for my seizure and all that kind of thing. That was pretty traumatizing. They didn't know to an extent what was happening. They just knew something was up.
Their new mum was sick.
Yeah.
And they're quite young, your children too. Is it a conversation you've had with them, or do you try and shelter them from that?
The young ones, because they were so young, like I think my middle boy was only in kindy at the time, and my oldest was probably grade one. And so it was, I mean, Jackson being like he's quite an intelligent kid, and he probably understood a little bit better, and he, you know, showed emotion about that kind of thing because, you know, he's a bit of a soft kid.
So you've had two operations now over the last 3 years. The first one was you actually seeking out a brain surgeon to go in and take the tumour out.
Yep.
And then your recovery was quite intense. What happened there?
Yeah, so my first surgery was in Sydney with Charlie Teo, and I sought him out myself. And then my recovery was quite difficult because of where my tumour is. It affects my speech and things like that. So it was like I couldn't, all I could say was yes and shake my head in the opposite direction. So I'd be saying, no.
Wow.
As it often does with cancer, it returned. And one of your more recent surgeries had to be performed on your brain while you were awake. Talk us through that procedure.
I think everyone else was freaking out. But as far as the surgery goes, I just had one thing in the back of my mind, and that was my family, because I needed to be here for them. So that was, you know, as traumatizing as it was for me, it was probably a lot worse for them. But having the awake surgery, I never actually feared surviving. I knew I was going to come out okay. And, you know, I always had the feeling it was going to come back, but I would have hoped to get more than 2 years out of it.
Yeah.
And what are your chances now of keeping the tumor away?
Well, my last scan showed something still there, and they're unsure whether it was scar tissue or tumor. I'm going for scar tissue.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, I had my husband sitting next to me, and he panics a lot more than me, you know, because he's got three kids to look after. Yeah, it was pretty scary for him, I think, more so than me. But I don't feel like I'm ever not going to be around. Like, I still feel like I'm going to see my grandchildren and all that kind of thing. So,
That's a good outlook to have. Yeah. For sure. Positive attitude.
Yeah.
And in amongst all this, like, you're also raising money for brain cancer research. I know Charlie Teo also has his foundation where he raises money for brain cancer research as well. How are you going about that?
So, this year we didn't do Walk for Brain Cancer, but in the last couple of years I have undergone like that kind of thing and raise money, help raise awareness and money for brain cancer. It's been like such an extraordinary thing to be a part of. And so everyone comes along and everyone wears purple Walk for Brain Cancer shirt.
I reckon it's pretty cool. Like, obviously, this has been like massively financially draining on your family the last few years, but you're still raising money for the greater good, which is a phenomenal thing.
Yeah.
Wow, I just feel like you've been on a train to hell and back, and, you know, you've come out so
positive.
Positive.
Yeah.
You just speak so eloquently about it, Kelly.
Well, there's no other way to speak about it. Like, it's happening. I can't change the fact that I've got a brain tumour.
Yeah.
I'm probably very, very thankful that I'm aware of it because I had a seizure when I was – what alerted to me to the fact was I had a seizure.
At the gym, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm very, very lucky that people there came to my aid and helped me, and, you know, they're – my guardian angels, like, you know.
Wow. Kelly Turner, you are an inspiration.
You
probably hate to hear that kind of thing, but it's absolutely true. And what an amazing guest to have on in the lead up to International Women's Day tomorrow. Keep fighting the good fight. So much love to your beautiful husband and family. And thanks for your time.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
One of my mates is looking at strengthening his Tinder game, and he's mentioned to me that maybe there's a way to do so. We've got him on the line right now. Adam, how are you going to strengthen this Tinder game?
Well, the first option was to buy a house, but then I realised I didn't have any money. So I was like, well, what's a bit cheaper than that? And what do people seem to like? And I was like, I'm going to get a dog.
Right.
I love this theory because girls froth over dogs, or guys with dogs anyway. Have you tested it yet? Like, have you borrowed a dog before you go to the commitment of actually adopting one?
Well, my parents have got a dog, so when I go and see them, then if you take the dog for a walk, and then you, yeah, if you, it sounds weird, but yeah, if you walk past the shops, then people walk over and they say hi, and then I figure, well, if you've got a dog in your profile photo on Tinder, then that's gonna, that can't help either, because you see so many profiles where people are like, oh, if you've got a dog, I'm gonna swipe right.
Oh, right.
I want to date your dog, not you.
So essentially, like, just to lock this down, essentially, Adam, you believe that a dog makes you hotter. Like, having a dog in a profile picture or whatever makes a guy hotter.
I think you're more likely to get a swipe right. I think it might depend on the sort of dog. I mean, you don't want to get something too small, but you don't want to get something that's massive that looks like it's going to, you know, going to go or something like that.
What he did say to me was he needed a dog more masculine than my dog. That's what he said.
Well, your dog is the size of, you know, like a football on a good day. But, hey, we'd love to put the theory to the test, Adam. Townsville, what do you think? 13, 12, 16. Mm. Does having a dog make a guy hotter?
I would say yes, but I'm not in the dating scene right now. But when I was, if a cute dog was in the profile, I would be 90% more inclined 90%. To swipe right.
They're good numbers, Adam.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go and get the dog.
Yeah, I was going to say 90%. Yeah, I like that percentage, yeah.
He's on the way to RSPCA as we speak. 13, 12, 16. Do dogs make guys hotter, Townsville? Is this a thing? Like, is Gabs right? And is Adam, like, excuse the pun, barking up the right tree?
Yeah.
13, 12, 16. Thanks, Adam.
That's all right.
13, 12, 16. Allison's here right now. Do you believe this theory, Allison? Like, a guy's hotter if there's a dog in the picture?
No.
No.
Never.
No, because I'm annoyed with people and their dogs.
You're annoyed by people
and
their
dogs? When did dogs become kids?
Now.
Oh, geez, man. You know.
So are you not a dog lover?
That's Gabby through
and
through.
I have a dog. I have a dog, but I don't, like, I love my dog, but I don't, like, treat it like a child.
No, do you know what? That's what I think the difference is here. It's girls that don't have dogs like to date guys with dogs because then they can get their fill of the furry friend.
Their fill of dog without the commitment.
I didn't have a dog when I was dating, and I was like, can you bring your dog on the date? Because I just really want
that. Yeah, I'm more interested in the dog than you.
Yeah, is that just because you need that, to break that awkward song?
Yeah, it's an icebreaker. It's
great. I've got a dog. I've got something to talk about.
And I think, too, every woman deep down wants to have that scene in the movie where the leash, like, wraps around and brings you two together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the cliche rom-com thing.
And then you fall over and start making
out. And then you get married and have a million kids and everyone lives happily ever after. Andy's here right now. Andy, buddy, what do you think? Do dogs make guys hotter?
Yes, they do, but you got to be nice to your dog once you actually meet the dog.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
This is the new test, because you know how back in the day it was, if he's nice to the waiter, then you know he's a good egg. Now, if it's if he's nice to his dog.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right. It's pretty sexy.
Okay, but just like litmus test here, Andy. What if it's a guy and he's got like a dog like Gabby's? Like, because Gabby's dog is the tiniest of tiny chihuahuas. Like, what if it's a big burly guy, but it's like a tiny little Paris Hilton in a handbag dog? Is that a turnoff?
It depends if it's if it yaps way too much, yes, definitely. They can be fine as long as they've got a good attitude themselves as well.
Yeah. Between his yapping and the yapping of the dog, the date was awful. Never going back.
Get up with Cliffo and Gabby on Hit 103.1.
This is Gabby's Diary. Oh, she's sweet
but a psycho. Little update from the past episode of The Diary. I started dating James, who I knew from primary school, but we were dating via MSN because we hadn't
I find this very bizarre because you're like, you weren't at all pretty much in the same room together.
No, ever.
So it was very much an online
It was an online relationship back in 2001.
And this is the days before Nigerian scamsters and stuff. So
I knew it was really a
person. You didn't have much to worry about.
Yeah. So this is happening in December 2001. I forgot to write the date, but it's December 2001. Dear Diary, I feel like such an idiot. Tegan told me James was cheating on me and I believed her. So I dumped him and it turned out he wasn't. And he said to forget about it, but I don't think he will. I feel so bad. I don't think he wants to take me back. I'm so sad that I almost cried. Almost.
Almost cried. That's pretty sad.
Everyone's like, oh no, bad move. And I'm like, hello, I already know that. Oh God, I'm so so stupid. He doesn't even seem fazed by it, though. Anyway, I went to Adelaide recently with the fam, and I used to think Jamie was really cute, but now he's just full-on hot. Oh, it's so unfair. I only get to see him every 2 years. I just really want to go back to school because I want to go to a disco. I'm determined to pick up and hopefully get my first kiss. I've decided I've been single for far too long, excluding James, because I never actually saw him anyway. I wish a hot guy actually liked me and actually lived close enough so I could actually see him more than once a month. Oh, anyway, I'm going to go to bed now. P.S. Here's the
story.
Oh,
there's more. There's more.
Yep. Here's the story of Chloe and Macca. So he asks her out. She says no. He asks her out. She says yes, then dumps him the next day. He asks her out. She says yes. After about 5 months, she dumps him again. He asks her out. She says no. He then plans on asking her out again. Persistent or what? See ya.
I mean,
if my love life's not dramatic enough, I've got to include my friends as well.
Want more Cliffo and Gabby? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.